WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Don Walzer, the Western swing vocalist who was famous for his soaring tenor to falsetto yodel, died Wednesday after a five-year battle with neuropathy. He was 72. Although he didn't become a professional musician until age 60, Don Walzer played and sang plenty of music when he wasn't working as a mechanic and auditor for the Texas National Guard. Away from his day job, he opened shows for a young Buddy Holly in the 1950s and for another young performer named Johnny Cash. Don Walzer recorded and released his first album, Rolling Stone from Texas, in 1994 when he retired from the Guard. It became an independent label hit and a critic's favorite, and his yodel got him plenty of attention. A music critic for Playboy magazine, of all places, was so impressed by Walzer's country tenor that he dubbed him the Pavarotti of the Plains. Terry spoke with Don Walzer in 1994. Before we hear them, let's hear his recording of the yodeling cowboy ballad, Cowpoke.
I'm lonesome, but I'm happy. Rich, but I'm broke. And the good Lord knows the reason. I'm just a cowpoke. From Dallas to Austin, the ranges I know. I drift with the wind. No one cares where I go.
Don Walzer, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be talking with you today.
What happens to your voice when you yodel? How do you do it?
Well, it's kind of done down in your throat, and you hit a falsetto, and then you just come right back out of it to something else, you know. You know, like, you know, it sounds kind of dumb when you're doing it like that, but then if you speed it up, it's, you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Well, you do an Eddie Arnold song, I'll Hold You in My Heart Till I Can Hold You in My Arms. And one of the things I love about your version of this song is that you don't yodel in the song, but you use that kind of falsetto yodel-like quality in the melody. You just, like, work it into the melody line.
Right. That was Ray Benson's idea. Him and T.J. McFarlane produced this CD, and he said, why don't you try a falsetto on the end of it and just do the melody? He'd heard me do it before on other songs. And so I have to blame that on him. That wasn't the way I usually sung it. But I'm glad that he came up with the idea because I really enjoy it.
Well, this is I'll Hold You in My Heart from Don Walzer's new album, Rolling Stone from Texas. It's really a beautiful recording. Don Walzer, I'd like to get back to your yodeling for a moment. Do you feel like you know different styles of yodeling, or is there just one style that's the Don Walzer style?
Well, I think that I do a Jimmy Rogers type yodel. I think we put one, yeah, we did. We put California Blues on there, and it's a different kind of yodel. But I sort of do a swish yodel. And I kind of patterned that after hearing the Jimmy Wakely song that Slim Whitman did back in the late 40s, I believe it was in the late 40s, that he did Casting My Lasso. And I liked that Swiss yodel, and I started doing that more. And, of course, Elton Britt did some things like cannonball yodel and stuff like that got me to doing that.
What's the difference between a Swiss yodel and a cowboy yodel? And maybe you could demonstrate the difference for us.
Well, a cowboy yodel is sort of like, sort of like that, you know. And then a Swiss yodel is more like, you know, it's more of a double yodel than the cowboy yodel is. You know, like an old cowboy song, I remember I used to do one when I was growing up called Rainbow in the Rio Colorado, and it has a kind of different yodel to it, too. And I don't know, it's just I just sort of developed a lot of the yodels because I didn't have access out there where I grew up to anyone else's yodels, and I still haven't really paid much attention. I've been, you know, so busy throughout my life that I really hadn't bought and listened to other folks yodeling.
Take us back to your childhood a little bit. Would you describe for us where you grew up?
I grew up in a little farming community of La Mesa, Texas, right between Lubbock and Big Spring, out on the South Plains of Texas, a little strip of land right below the Panhandle. And my mother passed away when I was about not quite 12 years old. And in those days, the Lubbock County and up in there had a lot of cotton. And the old La Mesa Cotton Oil Mill was where my father worked, and he was the night superintendent. And back in those days, when the mill run, well, you had to be there all the time. So he worked from 6 in the afternoon, in the evening, until 6 in the morning, 7 days a week while the mill was running. And that usually was at least 6 to 8 months during the year, and sometimes even longer, according to the size of the crop.
So your mother died when you were 12. Your father mm-hmm. worked, 12 hours a day at the mill. Who took care of you?
Nobody. I just stayed at home. I would kind of, you know, when you're young like that, you see things that's not there, you know. So I kept the radio going all the time, you know. Even at night, I'd go to sleep with it. And if I woke up during the night, well, I'd listen to it a while. And it's always on one of those old border stations from down in Mexico or the Grand Ole Opry, and I just grew up on that old music, and I almost had a photographic memory, and I remembered most of those songs, and I still do remember most of them, and I never wanted to sing anything but those songs because they sort of helped me make it, you know, through life.
Is there a song that you found particularly comforting when you were home alone at night and a little afraid and you'd put on the radio?
Well, I liked the old heart songs and the ballads more than I did the boogie-woogies and things like that.
Now, I know that where you grew up was not far from Lubbock.
That's
course,
right.
Lubbock's big star was Buddy Holly. And I know that there were times you shared a bill with him, right?
Oh, yes. Of course, back then I didn't really know who he was, but there was a drive-in theater there in La Mesa, Texas. At Skeet Nart had this old drive-in called a Skyview, and in fact, it's still operating. It's one of the last ones that hadn't been closed down. Then he had a big projection room there and he had a little stage on top of it, and he would bring in guys like Hoyle Nix and Buddy Holly, and they would have them come down and play at the Skyview between the movies, you know. And I would share bills with him. And then also one of his Buddy Holly's first, I don't know if he's a manager or just worked with him, his name was High Pockets Duncan. And I don't know his real name, but he was a disc jockey on KDAV there in Lubbock. And I didn't have a telephone. And he would, he'd get in touch with me. He'd say, some of you folks over there in La Mesa they called me Donnie back then, said, tell old Donnie Walzer that I want him to be at such and such place at such and such a time. And that's the way I'd get word. Someone would hear it and they'd come tell me, High Pockets wants you to be so in a certain place, you know.
Did rock and roll make it hard for you to do your music?
Yeah, it put a bunch of us almost out of business there for a while when Elvis and some of those guys came in. And it was good music, and I even did a little of it myself, but it never was, my heart never was there, you know. So I just kept doing what, plugging away at what I do now, you know.
Which Elvis songs did you do?
Oh, Heartbreak Hotel and some of those, I guess three or four of them, just enough to satisfy some of the young girls that was in the crowd.
do a couple of bars of Heartbreak Hotel the way you do
boy.
It.
I don't even know if I can do it anymore. It's been so many years. Let's see. I don't. I got to find the right key here. Well, since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. Down at the end of Lonely Street, Heartbreak Hotel, I get so lonely, baby. I get so lonely, I get so lonely, I could die. That's not very good, but...
That's great. So so there was a period when you felt like Elvis and other rock and rollers were starting to put you out of business. What did you do?
Well, we just kept playing. We would do a few of those songs. And I love Chuck Berry. We used to do a lot of Chuck Berry songs. And not a lot of them, but a few enough to get us... Get us through the night, you know.
But I
think that old rock and roll music was great music, and I still love to hear it. We got a group here in Austin called the High Noon Boys that do that stuff. They even made a 78 RPM record not too long ago using the old tube stuff that they used to record with back in those days.
Did you ever want to be the young singer who... was really good looking and all the girls fell for, and, you know, to become a big, like, romantic hero as well as a singer?
I think all of us did that going. I had the star syndrome there for a couple of years until I realized that I was having more fun than the stars were, you know. I was getting to play for weddings and old VFW halls and getting right there with the people, and I didn't have to worry about Carnegie Hall or any of those places. But I did have to take my wife. I told her when we married, I said, I'm in the National Guard, and I'll stay there till I retire, and I'm going to be gone some each year to go to summer camp. And I said, I'm going to play my music all my life, and so you got to get used to that. And if you don't trust me, then you've got to go with me. And I sort of insisted when we were young that she'd go with me, and so she could see that I was straight. You know what I mean? But I wasn't a bad-looking old boy when I was younger and had a few pounds off of me, and I did have a few of them try to chase me, but they always was afraid of my wife. You know how that goes.
So she did travel with you through the years?
Oh, yeah, she went everywhere I went back in those days. Now she doesn't go to every place. She comes out to a couple of places and helps me sell what products we have and so forth. But she trusts me now after all these years, and she says I'm like an old dog chasing a car anyway. If a dog caught the car, he couldn't drive it anyway.
Don Walzer speaking with Terry Gross in 1994. He died this week at the age of 72 and is survived by his wife and four children.